Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Tuesday, April 25th. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, if you were listening to Jenna Ellis in the morning, that her program just completed, she was talking about the big news, and that is the firing of Tucker Carlson from Fox News. Most conservatives love to listen to Tucker Carlson because Tucker says things that other people don't say. And he stands up for things, and you may not agree with him, but he speaks truth. He has boldness. I look at a guy like that and say, I wish more pastors had the courage to say what needs to be said as he says what needs to be said. But people say, well, look what happened to him. He got canceled. And the liberals, I saw a clip from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, just so joyful over the fact that Tucker lost his job. And, you know, we look at what's going on in the world, and we see people that stand up and speak truth. And I don't know where Tucker is spiritually, but we see him standing up and speaking truth and then getting whacked. And it makes people nervous. And it makes others say, well, I just want to kind of stay underneath the radar. I watched an interview with Tucker, or his speech that he was giving. I think Jenna played a little bit of it in the last hour. And he was saying how, you know, a guy that has a job in corporate America, he's got a lot of pressure on him to go along with the company party line because he doesn't want to lose his job. He's got expenses. He's getting a big fat salary. And the question comes into play, how long before we finally say, enough, I can't do this, and I have to stand up for the truth? Well, we call this program Real Truth for Today, and the way God has wired me, I'm just wired to say, listen, we need to speak the truth in love, for sure, in love, but we need to speak the truth. If you're not speaking the truth, I don't care how sweetly you may speak a lie, if it's a lie, it's not love. If you lie to somebody, you're not telling, you're not really loving them. And here's what the Bible tells us. 2 Timothy, the last epistle that Paul ever wrote before he got his head cut off, he says, you therefore, my son, speaking to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That verse, 2 Timothy 2:3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, that has been resonating in my heart for a long, long time. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. And as soldiers in the Lord's army, as any soldier knows, when you're in battle, it's going to be difficult. There are going to be hardships. And the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And we need to be ready, as the old song says, to stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, and be willing to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. If we think that we can get away with, you know, just, I just ride under the radar, and I'm going to skate by. Nobody's going to just be a secret disciple, so to speak, you know, and it'll be okay. I'm just going to go along to get along, and I just, you know, I need to not make waves at my company, and I'll do the pronoun junk, and I'll follow with the equity and inclusion and diversity training and all that stuff, and I'll speak the party line, and I'll put up the pride flag and all that stuff. You know, you gotta ask yourself, hey, What is my honor worth? What is my integrity worth? How can I compromise in this area? Is this honoring or dishonoring to the Lord? And if the answer is this is dishonoring to the Lord, then I can't go along with it. I have to just stand up and draw a line in the sand and say, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I think about Esther. I love the book of Esther, and I love the fact that Esther was put in a spot where she had to stand up, even though it was potentially going to cost her life. And when her uncle Mordecai said to her, Esther, you have to intervene for us on behalf of the Jews because we're getting ready to be destroyed. You have an inside track. You're married to the king, and so you need to go to him. And she said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. And then that word got back to Mordecai. And Mordecai said to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? And I love Esther's answer. She said, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. You know, nothing about prayer. Obviously, prayer is included there. Fast for me, but prayer is just assumed. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. And I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love Esther because she was willing to suffer hardship for the Lord. She was willing to put her life on the line. I have told my church on repeated occasions, listen, in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, difficult times will come, and it's going to cost us to stand up for Jesus, and we have to be willing to do that. And if it costs us friends, so be it. If it costs us a promotion, so be it. If it costs us our job, and I know we all have to live, so be it. If it costs us our freedom, and they say, hey, you knuckle under or we're going to lock you up, so be it. If it costs us our lives, so be it. We have to have the mindset of a good soldier. And we have to start thinking like a first century believer. And as the apostles believed, they told the leaders of their day, the religious leaders, the guys that had all the clout and all the power, and the guys that had delivered their Savior up to be crucified, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Listen, we live in a day and age of cancel culture. We live in a day and age of tremendous pressure from the culture to go along, and nobody likes to be called names. And if you get out of line, we'll call you a bigot, a racist, a homophobe, a transphobe, all these kind of phobes, and you're just going to get hammered. And nobody likes to get hammered. So what do? We just, hey, I'm just gonna shrink back into the fabric. I'm gonna get off the radar and just make sure people don't shoot at me. Well, listen, we need people to say, I'm willing to be shot at. Jesus said, hey, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And so we have to be willing to say, okay, even if the world hates me, I have to be faithful to the Lord. Jesus said, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so how do you get the world to like you? Why would you want the world to like you, the world that is a Christ-rejecting world? Why do you want to be associated as far as that kind of favor? Hey, the world is cheering me. If the world is cheering you, the Lord says friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We need, as Christians, we need to align ourselves with the Lord, align ourselves with His Word, speak the truth in love, and pray that God would make us bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. It is sad when you think about it that a guy that is not even a believer but has a strong sense of right and wrong and sees things going on that are wrong. And as I said, I don't know where Tucker Carlson is spiritually. I hope he's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for his salvation, but I don't know that. I've never heard him say that. But we need guys, you know, when a guy like that has more courage and conviction than many pastors who claim to, belong to Jesus and who claim to be his witnesses and are called, that's our purpose for being on this earth, is to be his witness and to stand up for the truth. And we're afraid, so many of us afraid to do that. And we get behind the Tucker Carlsons. Yeah, you get out there, you say that. That's right. Amen, amen. But we're not willing to stand up and say that. We're not willing to put ourselves out there. We're not willing to take the shots. Listen, that's not courage. And we need Christians to be courageous today. What does it say in Revelation chapter 21? Talking about the eternal state, talking about those people who experience the glories of the new heavens, of the new heaven and the new earth, and get to see the Lord's face. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Isn't it interesting that in those categories of persons, the first one that's mentioned is the cowardly? Hey, God has called us. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Listen, I'm not talking about we need to go around being obnoxious, poking everybody in the eye. That's not what a Christian does. But we need to speak the truth in love. We need to stand up and be counted. We need to say no to lunacy, no to the devil's agenda. And when it starts coming into our business, we need to say no. When it starts coming into our school system, we need to say no. We need to train up our kids in the way that they should go. We need to teach them this is true and this is false. We need the church to preach the word of God without stutter, stammer, or equivocation. We need to come to church week after week and be assured what is true north, because it's so easy to drift from true north. And the Lord's word is true. We need to preach the truth and get everybody back saying, this is the way, walk in it, and this is true north, and this is what God says about the issues of our day. See, the Bible is not an old book that's out of touch with reality. It's in touch with everything, and God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And when we come to church, we desperately need to hear, thus says the Lord. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back, so don't go away.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio. we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. A charitable gift annuity benefits the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. It helps ensure American Family Association is here boldly standing for biblical principles well into the future. And the charitable gift annuity allows you to shore up permanent income for life. Reach out to Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
After Jesus returns and the Battle of Armageddon is over, what will be next on God's prophetic timeline? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ and the millennial kingdom. Join us as we continue the series called Perfect Ending, all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
God made His design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net. Here's Ellis Kraft of Reach a Village Ministries.
The last verse in the Old Testament makes an amazing promise. Malachi 4:6, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Reaching villages with the gospel means reaching entire families. Children in unreached villages are vulnerable to abuse, trafficking, and spiritual poverty. But you can change that by helping Reach a Village with the gospel for the first time. More than 1 million villages are still waiting to hear. Your gift will be doubled and will help train and send local evangelists into an unreached village with the gospel. Go to reachavillage.org/AFR to find out more, or call 833-7-REACH-7 or call 833-773-2247.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about standing up for truth, especially in our collapsing, rotting culture. We are seeing a Genesis 6 environment all around us in America, which once stood for freedom and for truth and for righteousness, has caved to the pressures that the world has put upon us. You know, the Bible tells us, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The devil cradles the world in his arms like a mother cradles a baby, and he's pushing the world to a one-world government and to a one-world leader, to the Antichrist. And God is allowing all this to happen because the Lord is in charge and He is sovereign. But this is an opportunity for us. And all throughout the Bible, as we read about people taking advantage of the opportunity, standing up for truth, standing up to make a difference, standing in the gap for the land, so to speak, in the words of Ezekiel, so that the Lord wouldn't destroy it, as Moses was an intercessor and he stood up for the people and on behalf of the people. But we need people to stand up for truth. And as I shared in the last segment, Esther was willing to do that, to put her life on the line. Hey, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to go before the king, and I'm not going to go without prayer and fasting, because I know that without God's favor and without God's grace, the king is going to kill me for my, lack of protocol there. And so we desperately need to stand up and suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, because the hardships come. You know, we like to read the stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, they stood up before King Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't bow to his image, and they got thrown into the fiery furnace, but God delivered them. He's the fourth man in the fire, and turned the whole day around in Daniel chapter 3. A day to honor Nebuchadnezzar turned into a day to honor the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We love that, and we love those stories. But as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, the great hall of faith, and we see how God did such great things through these people that had faith. But then, let me find the passage. Then the Lord goes on to tell us that there were others and others. And you know what? They walked by faith too. But what happened to them? So he says, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, that's Daniel, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women receive back their dead by resurrection, and others, by faith, were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, what did they experience for their faith? Mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That's what we learn from church history about Isaiah. He was put inside Manasseh. King Manasseh had him put inside a hollow log and cut in half. They were cut in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God has provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. You know, we love the great stories and the great deliverances in this life. But hey, there are difficulties that come in the Christian life, and there are deliverances that come not before the fiery furnace, not even in the fiery furnace, but you go through the fiery furnace and you die, and as Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. What happened to Paul? He got his head cut off, and the Lord did deliver him even through death and took him to his heavenly kingdom. You know, until you and I get serious about, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And though none go with me, still I will follow. And whatever consequences come my way, I have to stay true and faithful to the Lord. You know, that is what God requires, faithfulness. I think about Don Wildman. You know, we just had a week or so ago, we just had a Share-a-thon, and we played a clip from Don Wildman and Share-a-thon, and he talked about faithfulness. And God had, that's what God is looking for from you and me. He's not looking for creativity or ingenuity or some, you know, kind of slick program that we come up with. He's looking for us to be faithful. And listen, if you're a pastor and you're leading a church, or you're leading some kind of a Christian organization, parachurch organization, and sometimes you feel like, well, all the pressure is on me to come up with this vision and to share the vision. And here's the thing. How did Moses do it? Moses spent time with God. Moses followed the Lord, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so I pray often, God, I need you to show me, what do you want us to do? Because I don't want to cook anything up out of my own head. I need to know what you want me to do. And then I need to be faithful to do it. Hey, what do we long to hear in the Christian life at the end of it all? Well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master, to be faithful to the Lord. Now, faithfulness so often produces fruitfulness. Not always, because Noah, we could say Noah was very faithful to the Lord. He wasn't very fruitful in his ministry in terms of seeing people come to the Lord and repentance and faith. He was very faithful. But so often, when we are faithful, we will see God's hand upon us and we will see fruitfulness. Well, as a staff, we have been going through the wonderful book by Erwin Lutzer called No Reason to Hide. As we talk about today, standing up for truth, especially in a collapsing culture, as we think about the canceling of Tucker Carlson, a person who stood up for truth and spoke the truth to our culture, not spiritual truth, but he spoke truth about what's going on, and he still will do that, but he's not going to do that on Fox News. But anyway, No Reason to Hide by Erwin Lutzer, a great book. We had Dr. Lutzer on the program some months back talking about that book. I love this story that he shares from Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book called The Gulag Archipelago. So Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, he's in Moscow, 1937. He gives a speech. The crowd gives him a standing ovation that continued nonstop, minute after minute after minute after minute after minute. After 11 minutes of people cheering wildly, the applause finally subsided when the director of a paper factory stopped clapping and sat down. I mean, it seems reasonable. Hey, we've been standing and clapping for 11 minutes. I think it's time to shut this down. Lutzer writes, later that night, the man was arrested and sent to prison for 10 years. During the interrogation, he was told, "Don't ever be the first to stop clapping." Hey, you gotta go along. You gotta fit in. We can't clap over things that are abhorrent to the Lord, that are abhorrent to His Word. We have to speak the truth in love, and we have to be willing to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Remember, think like a soldier. You know, when a soldier goes into battle, what is he there for? He knows he's not there for a vacation. He knows he's not there for sightseeing. He's there. He has a mission, and he wants to get the mission accomplished and get back home. When a person is saved, we are saved out of this world, and we're sent back to this world with the mission of being a witness in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our only business in the world. And so we are here to point the way to Jesus, to tell people, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, be saved from this perverse generation. Jesus will save you. The door of the ark, so to speak, the Lord Jesus is open, and the grace is available today. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Revelation 22:17, the last chapter of the Bible, it's an invitation. And if you wish, you can come. And we're there to tell people, hey, Jesus will save you. He will save anybody from the guttermost to the uttermost if you will turn from sin and put your faith and trust in Him. He is the only way. And that's going to make people go crazy. because they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear they're sinners. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the only way. They don't want to hear that they must repent. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5 from the lips of Jesus. They don't want to hear that. They want a God in their own image. They want to write their own gospel. They want God to play, let's make a deal. He doesn't. He says, this is the deal. And you, if you want to be saved, you can be saved, but there's only one way to salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Listen, we can't go along with the world and clap in the face of evil and say, well, hey, I just want to go along with everybody. I don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want to get canceled. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to have anything bad happen. We have to be faithful to the Lord. There's a prophet in the Old Testament named Micaiah, and he was the only one who stood up before Ahab and Jehoshaphat to tell the truth. You go out to battle and you're going to die. And they punched him in the mouth and they put him in prison and they fed him sparingly. And he said, when I return, Ahab said, I'll deal with you. He said, if you return, God has not spoken to me. And sure as the world, Ahab didn't return. He died in battle, just like Micaiah said. Hey, we need Micaiahs today. We need Micaiahs in the pulpit, guys who will stand up and speak the truth in love and call people to the Savior while there's still time. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about this because this is really something that's just embedded in my heart, to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus and to be willing to suffer hardship. Listen, nobody likes to suffer hardship. Nobody likes to suffer at all. But as I talked to Johnny Erickson Tata some months back, she said, you know, we don't know a lot as Christians about suffering. We try and avoid it at all costs. But she said, I know a little bit about suffering because I've been in this wheelchair for 55 years. And she said, we need to remember what the Lord says, that I may know him, Philippians 3:10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, the fellowship, the koinonia of his sufferings. That's the sharing of his sufferings. We don't like sufferings, but we need those, and God uses those in our lives. And just like Johnny Erickson taught us, she wanted to be healed when she broke her neck as a teenage girl. You would want that. I would want that. We would want that. God didn't have that. That wasn't his plan. And as she tried to kill herself in those early days because she said, I can't live like this. I just want to die. She finally came to the end of herself and she said, all right, God, if I can't die, then show me how to live. And the Lord answered that prayer, and he did. And she has been a bold witness for Jesus Christ and leading people to Christ and encouraging Christians to stand up for Jesus for all these many, many decades. She is such a blessing, and God has used her life through the suffering. We wouldn't know who she was if the Lord had healed her 55 years ago, healed her spine and her broken neck and done a miracle. That would have been great, but we wouldn't know who she was. Not today, but everybody around the world, I say everybody in a loose way, we know about Johnny Erickson Tata, and she is such a powerful witness because she has joy and peace in the midst of suffering. And that gets the world's attention. Listen, when you suffer and you still praise the Lord, that gets people's attention. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. The phone lines are open. We're up against a break, but we will go to the phone lines when we come back. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about this, being a truth teller and standing up in courage in a collapsing culture. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
AFA Foundation Director Riley Wildman.
A charitable gift annuity is perfect for AFA supporters with an eternal perspective like Lucy Overstreet.
Psalm 78 tells us that we are to tell our children and our grandchildren and the future generations after them what the Lord has done in our lives and what the Word of God says.
Lucy's charitable gift annuity will keep supporting this ministry for generations.
I wanted something that would have eternal value, and that's the way I think of the American Family Association investment.
Contact Riley Wildman and her staff at the AFA Foundation and find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website, afafoundation.net.
My life is not about me, it's about him.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Well, we are opening the phone lines 888-589-8840 as we think about standing up for truth in a collapsing culture and the call to Christians to speak the truth in love and to stand up and be counted and to suffer hardship, as Paul told Timothy, as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Well, we have Linda on the line from Mississippi. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, maybe this is my Esther moment. I don't know. After listening to your first comments in your show today, this is an extremely hard call for me to make, but I think that I'm forced to call. And it's a difficult request for a comment from you. And it's going to get me a lot of backlash, and I'm going to be shunned by church membership, and I'm going to feel defended. But we do have new leadership in our church, and we are being brought, as of 2 days ago, a vote for this coming Sunday to cancel our services in the summer, our Sunday night services, our Wednesday services, and go to one church service on Sunday morning. I understand that it's summer, and I understand that we all need vacation time, but our leadership has vacation time, sabbatical time. We have strong new pastors But now we're cutting back. And this is so hard for me to speak about. But our church has been the largest, strongest church in the area for decades and decades and decades. Now we're pulling back. And from your comments, and I'm thinking of Tucker yesterday, I just need some.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, Linda. I know that you're hurting with that decision. Okay, so here's what I would say. And from a pastor's perspective, summertime can be hard because there are so many people out. And there would be times. Now, we don't have a Sunday night service. We have a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, big Wednesday night activities. And we'll have anywhere from 700 to 1,000 people on campus Sunday night or Wednesday night. I preach pretty much every Wednesday night. But for a lot of pastors, they say, "Oh, okay, we want to take a break, give people a break." I think that's okay to do that for maybe a few weeks. Maybe in the month of July, you're saying, "Okay, we're gonna," you know, a lot of people are gone in July. It's hard for us to run the programs when people are gone. I think when you start adding all these weeks, it just weakens the church, and it gets people out of the habit. You know, as it says in Hebrews 10, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. We want people to have the habit of coming. I always tell people in our membership class, listen, we want church to be a cornerstone of your life and your family. It's not you wake up on Sunday morning and stick your finger in your mouth and figure out which way the wind is blowing to decide if you're going or not. You just know, hey, this is what we do. We worship the Lord on Sunday morning. We're going to be in Bible study classes and in worship. And if there's something special that is going on at the church on Sunday night, oftentimes we leave Sunday night open for a special event or a special speaker or something like that. Hey, we're going to that. And Wednesday night, man, that's a cornerstone for our home. And we protect that because that matters. If you get people out of the habit of that, then they start doing other things, and then it's hard to get them to come back. What did we see with COVID? Got people out of the habit of coming, and so many of them never came back. It was just more convenient to watch online and not to get up, get dressed, and go and be there. Listen, online church is a great supplement. It's not a great substitute because it's not the assembling together. It's not the rubbing shoulders with other people. The spirit in the room, that can't be captured on a live stream, can't be captured on television, like when you're there and you're experiencing it firsthand. And so that is very, very important when you're joining hands with the person next to you, when you're hugging next. Really, really important. So here's what I would say, Linda. I would encourage you to talk to the pastor, talk to the leadership in the church, share your heart with them. Let them know that you're just very concerned, you're very burdened, that you just sense, you know, just as Esther went before the king, she went with her burden. And you just leave that with the Lord, and you pray, and you say, listen, I'm not here to cause problems. I just am having a real hard time in my heart, in my spirit, thinking that this is a good thing for us to do. And just appeal to them to prayerfully reconsider that and pray with them about that. And, you know, you come with the right spirit, God can use that. And so you don't want to come blasting them. You want to come appealing to them. And so that would be my encouragement to you, is to come in that way and see what the Lord does.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're very welcome. Well, I'll be praying with you about that too, Linda. So God bless you, and thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Jeff, the Bible gives us plenty of examples and explains to us why bad things happen to good people and how we should respond. Sometimes it's harder for me to understand why so many good things happen to bad people. And I just wonder if you'd say a few words about that and what the Bible has to say about so many good things happening to people that don't deserve it, people that are obviously bad.
Yes.
Is that something we just shouldn't be concerned about?
Well, okay, there's a passage in Scripture about that. Psalm 73 is about that. And it says this, Jay, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. Why? Because he said I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Yeah, I think it's very easy for us to look at people that are not living lives that are honoring God in any way. And whether they're atheists or whether they're just, you know, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. And Jesus, like the Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right with me, but I'm not going to bow my knee to him. And they seem to have everything come up roses for them. It's very easy to get like Asaph, the psalmist in Psalm 73, and become envious of them and say, I don't get it. Why does God seem to bless the wicked? And why do the righteous seem to have so many difficulties? And you're exactly right. I mean, we don't deserve anything from the Lord. Everything is a gift. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. But so when Asaph in Psalm 73, he's saying, hey, I'm about ready to throw in the towel. He said, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, because what's my situation? I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. He said, if I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your people. When I pondered to understand this, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. He said, then I perceived their end. Surely, God, you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. God gives people opportunity, and it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance, Romans chapter 2 tells us. But when people don't respond to that, then the Lord, he says enough. You know, I think about the situation with Christopher Reeve, the Superman who had the terrible accident, broke his neck. I listened to lots of interviews with him and with his wife, and he never once mentioned the name of God. And I think God was giving him opportunities to come to him, and he just would never do it. And I think from what I can gather, he must have said there is no God, and so he would never even acknowledge God. And when the Lord said enough, Christopher Reeve died and his wife died, and they were, it seemed like they were just swept away. Nobody was talking about them anymore. They were just gone. And I think that's what happens to people. God gives people an opportunity, and he's good to people even though they don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But he's good to them, and when they don't respond, then the Lord says, okay, that's it. There's nothing else I can do to reach you. And so I think that, Jay, we just need to watch our hearts to make sure we're not envying unbelievers. Sometimes we can look at somebody that has a lot of material things and think, oh, they're so happy, they're so blessed. They're not. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And just because something looks good on the outside, it may not be like that on the inside. And so we need to judge not according to appearance sake, but as Jesus said, judge with righteous judgment. So I appreciate the question, Jay, and I think that that is a very honest question, and that's a very very human question for sure, because that is discussed in Psalm 73. And the whole book of Job is really built on that. You know, hey, Job's friend said, if you're right with God, he's blessing you. If you got difficulty in your life, it's because you're wicked, and you need to confess your sin, Job. And Job said, I don't have any sin that I haven't confessed, and I am right with God. And he didn't understand what God was trying to teach him there. And so that was That is a theme of Scripture, and so we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not covet and not look at what other people have and just say, Lord, you are so good to me. I don't deserve any of your blessings. Thank you for everything that you give me. Well, we have Vicki on the line from Virginia. Vicki, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I kind of lost it with your call screener, but I really want to ask you to pray for the young pastors that are coming up. We need to pray for them. They're, you know, I know two men here that are, this is their first church. They've come, one has come from academia, the other one has been a pastor in various churches until he got his own, and they're just there. I can't imagine being a new pastor, a young pastor with young families right now. And it really, you know, my husband and I pray for them.
Amen. They need the prayers. You're so right, Vicki. Younger guys, I'm 60 years old, but here's what I think younger guys desperately need. They need older mentors, and they need to learn from the heroes of the faith who have gone on before us, who stood up in the fire, because, it's like Rehoboam who followed Solomon's son. He didn't listen to the wisdom of Solomon's contemporaries, the elders. He listened to his own buddies, his own peer group. And as the scripture says in Isaiah 40, young men stumble badly. And so young men need to hear and get wisdom from older men. I know in my ministry at First Baptist Texarkana, I praise God for my good friend and associate pastor, Larry Sims. Larry is, he's about 18 years older than I am, and he helped me so much because he had been at the church for a long time, and he knew the lay of the land, and he knew the pulse of the church, and he could help me if I was getting ready to step on a landmine. Hey, don't do this because you're not going to like the results of this. And so we would go back and forth on things, some things I felt real strongly about, but he helped temper me so I didn't step on that landmine, so I didn't blow myself up. And I think that the younger guys really need that, and older guys in the ministry, we need to be there for the younger guys. And Vicki, I appreciate your heart to pray for the younger pastors and to bless their families and to be there and be an encouragement to them. It's hard to be a pastor's wife. It's hard to be a pastor's kid, and they need protection, the protection of prayer around them. So God bless you, and thank you for your heart. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And so today we were talking about standing up for truth in a collapsing culture. And that's what God calls us to do. We had one call that we weren't able to get to, but the question was, how do you do that in a Christian way? How do you speak the truth in love when some things are so abominable? I think that there's going to be emotion in there with abominable things, and there's righteous indignation that comes with things that are just so beyond the pale. And so that's not a bad thing to have some passion with those things. But we just don't need to be unduly obnoxious or ugly when we talk to people. We need to know that that's a person for whom Christ died. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Let him use you as his witness. That's why you and I are on this earth, to be his witnesses. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.